Hi, I'm Jack Williams, General Manager of EWTN Radio. Welcome to the Catholic Sphere. Each week we tackle topics important to Catholics around the globe with a different host and a different focus. This week we're talking about Catholic radio in the heartland. To help us along this journey, we're pleased to be joined by Roy Brown, the Executive Director of Billings Catholic Radio in Billings, Montana. Steve Splonskowski, EWTN's Affiliate Relations Coordinator, joining us today from Fargo, North Dakota. And Jim Carroll, the Executive Director of Spirit Catholic Radio Network in Omaha, Nebraska. Gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us. You know, when Mother Angelica put out her call, she started the shortwave radio, as many of you know, in 1992. And in 1995, she put out a call on her television show one evening that anybody who could procure an AM-FM radio station, or if they already had an AM-FM radio station, she would provide programming for them free of charge. And by the end of 1996, six people had taken her up on her offer. And to this day, we have over 380 affiliated radio stations, AM-FM stations, here in the United States, bringing you fine Catholic programming. These three gentlemen are in markets that are a little more rural. That's why we've titled the episode In the Heartland. But none of you were there when the actual apostolate was formed. I know, Roy, you and Billings were there when they actually flipped the switch and went on the air. But, Jim, if I'm not mistaken, the entire impetus of this effort in Omaha was started with the Curcio Prayer Group, huh?
Yes, it was. There were actually a number of people that were looking to get Catholic radio started in the Omaha market, but it was through the prayer of a group of men that had met at a Curcio group. But it actually transferred from the Curcio group over to a group that was praying the rosary on a regular basis at St. Wenceslaus Catholic Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
And Roy, if I'm not mistaken, the group that started things at Billings Catholic Radio worked for actually years before they actually got on the air. And I think that by the time that happened, they figured we better get somebody who knows something about radio to get involved in this operation. And that's when they turned to you. But how did things all get started there in Billings?
It all started with kind of a diverse group, two Catholic priests, a Catholic bookstore owner, a medical transcriptionist, and a journalist. They all had the idea kind of at the same time of bringing Catholic radio to Billings, and they met and formed a board. And actually, one of the Catholic priests came to meet me. I was doing secular radio. So he came to meet me and asked, how do you get a radio station on the air? And I told him, I have no idea. I work for corporate radio, so go find an engineer and people that know what they're doing. And they actually tracked down a couple of different licenses. And we purchased the license, an AM with an FM translator, about 3 years later, and that's when I came on board. But it's been a wild ride ever since.
You know, Steve, you're in Fargo today, which I think is where Real Presence Radio sort of centers their operations now, but it didn't start in Fargo, did it?
No, it didn't. It actually started north of Fargo, about 75 miles in Grand Forks, North Dakota. However, our founder, our president of Real Presence Radio, in 2000, around 2000, 1999, was listening to secular radio. And he was listening to how the Catholic faith was being presented. And he got really frustrated. And he said, I found myself hollering out, Lord, why isn't somebody doing something about this? And he said, the Lord said back to me, why don't you do something about it? And that's where it started. He started went to a men's retreat. Visited with, he threw it out kind of in a conversation of this happening, and afterwards three other men came up to him and said, we've been thinking the same thing. And so on December 12th, the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, 2000, Real Presence Radio Incorporated, and it began from there.
Yeah, Steve, when they were starting to kick this around, and I know you've spoken to those men and you have relationships with those men over the year, but at some point you actually have to take the plunge. And what was that whole decision-making process like when those guys were you know, ready to step out of the boat, so to speak?
Absolutely. Yeah, the first thing they did, actually, is they started buying time on a local radio station and airing local, you know, Catholic radio shows that they could get from EWTN and Catholic Answers. They did that for a number of years. It took until November 6, 2004, for us to get our first radio station, and we got that through a kind of a blind auction from a local university selling their radio station, an AM station. And through that blind auction, they threw out a bid, not sure if they would get it. And they got the bid, and immediately thereafter, they had to move the tower, rebuild the tower, the site, the studio, and everything. But really, kind of going back to just taking that first step out in faith, kind of like Mother Angelica did, and when the Lord opens the door, then you kind of know what to do at that point.
You know, Jim, there in Omaha, there were some, as there are with really any apostolate that gets started, you know, there were some moments when I'm sure that original group thought that maybe this is a little bit more than we can chew. This may be a little bit more than we want to take on. But they persevered. They moved their way through. But there were a lot of obstacles along the way, weren't there?
There were very many obstacles along the way. The group actually incorporated back in 1997. And it wasn't until January 9th of 1999 that they heard from the individual that they were making bids to that he finally was going to accept one of their bids. But that was just the beginning. They were given about a two-hour notice to get things ready because they said, you're going to be broadcasting dead air. And so our very first voice on Catholic radio in Omaha was someone that had been a television anchor on the local Fox affiliate. And she grabbed up as many Catholic CDs because they didn't have a connection to EWTN yet. So they grabbed a bunch of CDs of various music and put that on the air until the engineer from EWTN could fly out the next day. And he came in during a snowstorm and he had a light jacket on like this. And they had already ordered the equipment to be able to put it up on the roof to receive the satellite signal. And so within a day, by January 10th, then, is when they went on the air. But, many, many challenges. It was a 500-watt signal that was on a 50-foot telephone pole in the alleyway of a kind of a rundown storefront area, in not the best part of town. And from there, it just seemed to be one obstacle after the next. And we had a lot of comments made in the early days saying, it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard.
You know, Roy, when they were kicking around the idea and actually putting into motion over that three-year period before they brought you on board, what was the initial vision as you look at the great expanse that is Montana? You know, what was the evangelistic vision of those founders when they were looking at your area and looking at the prospect of Catholic radio?
Similar to what Steve was talking about, there were concerns that there was a lot of Christian programming, but there wasn't Catholic programming. And so the vision was to merely bring in Catholic programming, but that quickly changed. When I was approached to join the station, I had been doing secular radio for close to 20 years and had made some contacts with a few of those individuals. And when they brought me in, they said, well, can you do this? And I look back and some of the stories that I've heard about Mother Angelica really inspired me, because all that I had gone through in secular radio had prepared me to kind of walk in as a one-man show and put this radio station together. And there were a lot of mistakes and a lot of hurdles to overcome. But their goal was always to unify all of the Catholic parishes in our area to reach out to the ruralness of Montana. There's great spans between major cities, so there's a lot of drive time. And we thought if we could bring Catholic radio to the state here in the southeast corner, then we could really do a lot of evangelization.
You know, you mentioned Mother Angelica, Roy. What kind of an impact did she have on that initial group? And what kind of an impact did she have not only getting things off the ground in Montana, but what kind of inspiration did she provide on a daily basis for you and the good folks there at Billings Catholic Radio?
To be honest, I didn't know who Mother Angelica was when I began, but many in the group did. In fact, one of them was a media missionary for EWTN, fought hard to bring EWTN television to our local market. And so when I came on board, I started to hear stories about her and of course, watching EWTN. I had never done that prior to coming on and listening all day. And of course, you had to listen to Mother Angelica at night, her humor and her depth of desire that everybody know the truth of Christ really inspired me, because I had already gone through a major conversion in commercial radio, finding that it wasn't really as satisfying as I knew I could be. And it really was after a year of prayer with God that I asked him to help me find a place. I was looking elsewhere, and he brought me right here. And so through the years, it's always been a source of encouragement to me that she has inspired so many people to step out in faith and just follow the Lord and his promptings.
Steve, what kind of influence did Mother Angelica have on that initial group there in Grand Forks, North Dakota?
Absolutely. Again, our president was, I believe he was at a Catholic radio conference in Birmingham, and he said there was that message from Mother Angelica where she said, you know, you buy a radio station and we'll provide the signal. And she said to him, or she said to the group, just remember, and she kind of leaned in, he always says, she puts her finger up and says, as soon as you forget you are an apostolate, you will fail. And that has been the mantra of Real Presence Radio for the entire time that I worked as executive director. That to remember that we are an apostolate, that we are here for evangelization. You know, one of the phrases I love to use from Mother Angelica, too, she always says, you know, faith is one foot on the ground, one foot in the air, and that queasy feeling in your stomach. And I love that idea. It makes me think of you know, faith and reason, really, that idea of you have one foot on the ground, you kind of connect it to reality, but you also have to have faith in having that one foot in the air, and you're a little bit uncomfortable with the sense of not knowing where you're going. And that is really a trust in the Lord. And so that has been really kind of the theme and the philosophy of our work here at Real Presence Radio over the years, is remembering we're an apostolate and continuing to work forward, even though we might have a queasy feeling in our stomach.
You know, Jim, if you tour the facility there at Spirit Catholic Radio, either the location where you're located now or that initial storefront that you were in to begin with, you don't have to go very far before you see vestiges of Mother Angelica around the grounds there. Talk about the impact that Mother herself has had on the work that you all do there at Spirit Catholic Radio.
Oh, Mother's been a tremendous impact. I did have the privilege, my wife and I, of meeting Mother. We went there in 2004 with a group of pilgrims, and my wife and I led that, and it happened to be our 20th wedding anniversary. And so they made special arrangements for us to be able to go meet Mother at the cloister. We were able to celebrate our anniversary. This was 18 years ago. We were able to celebrate our anniversary up at Radio Mountain. And it was just an unbelievable experience, because she had such an impact on my wife and I and my reversion to the faith. So I was very familiar with Mother Angelica, had watched her. From the mid-90s, and then read an article about Catholic radio in the what was then called This Rock magazine, put out by Catholic Answers. Jerry Usher had written an article and talked about it. And that's earlier I'd mentioned that there were several groups. I was one of the folks that had read that article and thought, this would be fantastic if we had Catholic radio and Mother Angelica's going to be able to provide the programming. I don't know how it can get any better than this. And so we do have her picture up. We've got our EWTN signage proudly displayed. It's been a wonderful relationship. And so with our going on the air, I think at the time we were the 9th Catholic radio station to take Mother up on that that challenge, if people are ready to provide a signal in the area, that she would be able to provide the programming. And so that's one of my favorite times to listen, is when Mother Angelica Classics is on.
She is something. You can listen to those talks that she gave and those teachings that she gave, and they may have been given 40 years ago, but it sounds as though they could have been given just yesterday. Steve, talk a little bit about the importance of the collaboration, you know, the principle of subsidiarity. Holy Mother Church has always taught us that everything should be handled at the most local level possible. And Mother Angelica inspires us to generate this programming here at EWTN to relieve the burden on the people trying to work out in the field of having to do all of this, both financially and from a human resource standpoint. Talk about the importance of the collaboration between the local affiliate and EWTN, because, you know, everyone should have some local programming in deference to that principle of subsidiarity.
Yeah, thanks, Jack. You know, the bottom line is radio groups, Catholic radio groups, would not be able to exist without EWTN programming. Trying to provide 24/7 Catholic programming would not be possible. You know, it's the cost of staff, the cost of creating that programming would make that insurmountable. Doing some local connection, again, that subsidiarity, and really taking the gift of Catholic radio and the gift of EWTN radio to embolden and to boost the local efforts of local Catholic apostolates and to really take that to another level is really, I think, the gift. You know, you buoy all boats in the harbor. That's what Catholic radio does. And EWTN did that first by buoying all boats in the harbor, by allowing Catholic programming to come on a local level, to be made possible at a local level. And then at the local level, those radio stations can then provide, you know, a couple hours a week or whatever's possible to the bishop, to the local Catholic apostolates, to really get that message out there. I think one of the best kept secrets in the Catholic Church is the work that we do. We work very hard at what we do. We forget to tell everybody that we're doing it. And so really, Catholic media, especially EWTN, makes a difference by putting the word out there clearly, succinctly, and truthfully.
You know, Jim, over the years at Spirit Catholic Radio, Omaha is a very Catholic community, to be sure, but you all have done an outstanding job of getting the word out. And once more people learn about the existence, really, of Spirit Catholic Radio, it has freed you up to do a little more local programming, maybe, than some people do. So I'm sure that you have a unique appreciation for the collaboration between what Mother Angelica started here from a programming standpoint and what you all do on the ground there in Omaha.
Definitely. We're very blessed, number one. We've got tremendous support from the three bishops that are in the Nebraska area. We have reached out from the beginning to the local apostolates, to various parishes, priests. I always say parishes, schools, apostolates, and ministries. That's where we begin, but then we want to go from there to anyone that has a radio that's able to listen. So we are blessed in that we do 22 hours of programming per week out of the 168-hour week that we have. We have a 2-hour, 15-minute morning program that really, it's there to feature all the different communities, the parishes, schools, and so forth that are across Nebraska. We've always had a pro-life program, talking about the different local pro-life efforts that are going on. We've had a teen program for over 20 years now. I think it's 23 years. A lot of our seminarians and then priests were involved from the very beginning. So we've seen a lot of vocations come from the programming, people being involved with the programming. And, you know, we give a lot of airtime to what's happening, how people can put their faith in action within their parishes and the different apostles and ministries that are across the area. So it's a nonstop job for anyone that's running Catholic radio to always try to get the word out. There's, even though we've been on the air, it'll be 23 years coming up in January. There's always people that have not tuned into Catholic radio. It's always a great conversation starter saying, oh boy, you don't know what your favorite Catholic radio program is that you're missing today. So here's a program guide or a tune-in card, and I want to have you take a listen to this. We'll get back with you in a couple of weeks, and you let us know what your favorite Catholic program is.
And Roy, how do you view the collaboration between EWTN and the work that you're doing there at Billings Catholic Radio?
That was one of the first questions I asked when I was approached to come on board was, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to play music or not? And they told me that there was an agreement with EWTN. And so from the very first day, I was kind of amazed at all of the depth of programming, the amount of programming that came to us, and the fact that we didn't have to buy it. It was given to us free. That was a big step for me coming from secular radio. But then I think it was probably 3 or 4 weeks in, I was already kind of pulling the last of my hair out, and I ended up calling Jim. And what a great collaboration between these different apostolates. It's not about our own station. It's about building up the kingdom of God, and everybody works together. I work with Steve on a regular basis, and he provides so much insight and experience. Coming into this sphere was a big step for me, not having a large staff. It was just myself and a couple of volunteers. And so everything had to be done with our own hands, and you couldn't hand it off to somebody else. So having that collaboration with the other apostolates was immense. As far as local programming goes, it's difficult in a market this size to find the talent with the skill set needed to take an idea and run with it. Much has to be done, baby steps along the way. But what I've learned so much from EWTN and going to the EWTN conference was a big step for me, was that everybody's willing to help. Everybody's waiting, just how can they help somebody else bring this wonderful programming to their local community? And there's no way that we would still be on the air after 11, almost 12 years now, if we didn't have this collaboration with EWTN, with all of their partners, and with all the other affiliates that truly make this happen. This isn't our radio station alone. We all kind of work together, and as Steve said, you know, raise all boats.
You know, one of the earmarks, I think, of the Catholic radio movement over the years has been the collegiality. And I know, Jim, you hear from a lot of people that are operating Catholic radio apostolates around the country, and you're happy to help them. And everybody is not in the same place, so there are adjustments that had to be made. But I think one of the beauties of Catholic radio is the way that you're all willing to share and help one another move forward in this mission.
Yeah, the collegiality is just tremendous among all the operators of stations. And as you mentioned, people are coming in with various levels of experience, completely different markets. But I think that for those of us that have been around for 20 plus years, we're finding that there's certain things that are going to work regardless of the market that you're in, whether you've got a small number of Catholics, a large number of Catholics, and that is to reach people where they're at. And EWTN programming just does a phenomenal job with that, supplemented with the local programming. You know, some of the first things people want to do when they first get a station up is they want to do programming. And I always say, oh, we've got some tremendous programming. The first thing you need to do is work with your local Catholics to make sure that they know that this is a station for them to know what's happening within the church and how they can more fully participate. If you could do that and do creative things to get the word out, then your apostolate's just going to soar. And that's exactly what we saw. We've made it a point to, as part of our apostolate, to ensure that we're helping any other radio apostolate that reaches out for help. And we've just said, it doesn't matter what we're doing, let's drop whatever that is and share the knowledge that we have, whether it's different marketing types of ventures, development ventures. And when you're ready to take that step to do programming, what types of groups, what's an easy way to get the message out? And so it's been wonderful. So many relationships built over the years. Roy had mentioned the annual Catholic Radio get together conference. That's where we always feel very, very blessed is when we get together with to see how it's growing in different areas, or people that we've talked with over the years, how the Lord's blessed them, and seeing their apostolate continue to expand.
You know, Steve, about a little more than a year ago now, you turned over the reins of Real Presence Radio to your successor and moved into the next phase of your apostolic work. And you're actually doing work for us here at EWTN, reaching out to all of those affiliates out in the field. And I'm sure you've seen a whole new level of collegiality since you've started that work.
Yeah, Jack, I think it's amazing. And Jim, you point out the fact that we work together. Everybody's willing to help each other. What I'm blown away by, Jack, is the faith of people. their willingness to take risks for the Lord, no matter their lives, no matter their situations. The Lord calls and they say, what do you want me to do? And many times he says, I want you to give me everything. And the answer is, when they say yes, I mean, traveling the nation now for a year and a half, I've done more pledge drives in the last, 2 years, a year and a half here than, previously. And just being side by side with these apostles and helping them fundraise and market and listening to the daily concerns and the daily joys. It's just, Catholic Radio is not only a journey for all of our listeners, but it's a journey for everyone who says yes to the apostolate. There's a daily conversion that happens in our hearts for every one of us who on a daily basis just say to the Lord, what do you want me to do for you today? And he converts our hearts, and then through us, he converts others' hearts. It's just a great gift to all of us, those of us who work in Catholic Radio, those of us who get to collaborate. And I could sit here and tell you stories all day of people across the nation who are lights in a dark world. They're bright, shining lights. It blows me away.
And Roy, I know that you have received some of the wise guidance of some of these men in Catholic Radio, and it really probably has allowed you to then turn around and provide expertise to other colleagues, huh?
I hope so. I hope to take what these two fine gentlemen have given me, pass it along. I have to mention about Steve. I've been working with Steve for over a year now, and there's so many things that, coming from 20 years of radio, I really thought I kind of knew it all, but he brought new ideas, and it was that faith, that willingness to step out in faith and just give everything to the Lord and to watch that blossom. That was incredible. So with there's other Catholic radio stations in Montana, and reaching out to them, some of them are low power FM, so they serve a very small market. But when I'm able to get on the phone with them or travel to their city and sit down and meet with them, a lot of it comes from or comes to encouraging them to continue the good work, to do the little things. In Billings, we have the opportunity much greater than what I thought was possible with events and marketing and promotions. But these other markets, they don't have that luxury, I guess. But they are still doing amazing work. And what I'm inspired by is I came from a radio background. It was my career. But these people gave up everything, their normal jobs, and walked this path. And so that they are the ones that inspire me as much as I might be able to help them with some programming or some marketing ideas. They're the ones that inspire me to continue to just do whatever it takes to spread the word.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Roy. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Jim. We appreciate you for joining us today, and thanks so much for being with us. Don't forget to tune in next week right here on the Catholic Sphere.